All right, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. WBEN Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney time is coming up on 10 minutes after 3. For those of you of a certain age, this is going to be relevant. For those of you who are a little bit younger, you're going to say, gee, he sounds like he was absolutely awesome. I'm sorry I wasn't really conscious enough to enjoy the show. Art Wander has died. Art was 98 years old, and I worked with Art for many years at the old radio station, which is now the sports radio station, and Art was basically a living legend then. And he came to work at the sports station, what is now a full-time sports station. This is following the Bill Polian, get out of town, blow up. So joining us right now, and Art died last night at, as I said, 98 years of age. And joining us right now is his daughter. He had two kids, Kelly Clem, who is with us right now, and Scott, who is, I don't know if he's going to check in or not. But hey, Kelly, thanks a lot. Appreciate your time under these circumstances.
Thank you so much, Tom. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and all of his listeners.
You know, Art liked to make people laugh so much. And all I can think about today, since we got in touch today and you told me that your dad was no longer with us, is what Art would have said. Was he as comedic at the end as he was his entire life?
Well, it was, you know, we had daily talks and it was covered a wide range of topics. But the last lucid conversation that we had was quite funny, actually. He and my mom divorced right after she had my brother because she got what she wanted out of him, which was two kids. And that was it. And so they always had a very amicable relationship. So I walked in just yesterday and before he died and he said, I said, how are you, Dad? And he said, your mother was here. And I said, oh, no, I knew what that meant. And I said, what did she say? And he said, she wants me to keep drinking milkshakes. And he goes, why do you think that is? And I said, because she's not ready for you to come up here yet because she doesn't want to have to deal with you.
Oh,
and
good.
So he laughed so hard and he said, you know, that's exactly right. And I told him, I said, you know, she's going to have to be nice to you now because God will be watching very closely. And he got a big smile on his face. And then he asked me about Pete Alonso and breaking the record of Daryl Strawberry. So he was, you know, sports and laughter all the way to the very end. So it was a very short time after that that he let go. So,
but I mean, I don't want to get into the specifics, but you are in a profession where you see a lot of people when they are about to make the leap into eternity. So you knew what it meant when your predeceased mother appeared in front of your dad, Art Wander.
Absolutely. There's actually been clinical studies that show you can predict within a 2 to 3 week time frame of when people start talking about and seeing their deceased loved ones. So I knew it was close. I didn't think it'd be 12 hours later. But, you know, like him, he did everything very fast. He was a short little man who ran. Sorry, that's my dog. Who ran and ran. And I didn't think he was going to linger that much longer. So, yeah.
I mean, knowing your dad, I'm so surprised he didn't time it so his last words were, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, because that would have been so Art. I'm sorry, it would have been.
It's absolutely true, and I think if he had had enough air in his lungs, he probably would have gotten one more run out. But, yeah, he loved that whole shtick, and he used it throughout. And then he also had some really original things that he would always come up with. So his mind, thank God, was never altered in any way, and he was very sharp there, you know, to the end. But he certainly was known for his favorites, right?
See, I knew your dad. I first met your dad back in the 1990s at the old radio station, as I'm sure you are aware. And I knew him as this incredibly talented, very highly rated evening sports talk guy. And then Empire Sports came along and scooped him up from the old radio station. What were some of the, your dad had so many highlights in his life, like Shea Stadium and the Beatles and a million other things. What were the events he covered or was part of in his career that you believe should be memorialized?
Yeah, you know, it's such a great opportunity to tell the other side of him. You know, everybody in Buffalo knows about his sports legend, but he actually left home when he was 17, and he really, you know, was living just, you know, in friends' homes and things like that. He just was always on the move, and he loved music. He played 7 instruments prolifically by ear. He never took a lesson. He could just sit down at a piano, sit down at drums, play the trumpet, play the saxophone, play the accordion. Whoa. And whatever song you requested, he could just come up, and not just like, you know, one note. I mean, he did the whole arpeggio and the whole thing. So that was a talent that he had. He was a wonderful baseball player. He played baseball in the Navy, and he was fast. He could hit the ball, and he knew how to coach young kids. He was, you know, in terms of music, because my parents divorced so young, we had no relationship with him in the day to day. Like, you know, he couldn't look at our homework and things like that. So what he did was he would call us. This is incredible. Every single day, no matter what city he lived in, we never went a day without talking to my father. My mother never had to work. He paid for everything. She was able to raise us without having to leave the home. And what he would do is he would talk to my brother and I about sports and music. And, you know, the next day I'd get a stack of albums delivered to me. And he'd say, listen to these and tell me what you think. And, you know, he'd talk to Scott about everything that was going on in sports. And so he developed that relationship, you know, through the phone lines. But it was so impactful, such that, you know, when he told me at 16 that he lived with Frank Zappa and started the first album rock station in Greenwich Village and, you know, hung out with Janis Ian and Bob Dylan, I was just like blown away at this little man who I, you know, got to see once a month. But he was just always there and always so present. And he passed everything on to us in terms of his talent, his experience, and his love, which he wasn't vocal about his love, but you always knew it was there. And that was the beauty of my dad.
Yeah, I mean, so many of the things you have mentioned are news to me. For example, I didn't know that he hung out in Greenwich Village with Dylan and Janis Ian, Life of the Party, Janis Ian, and Frank Zappa. I had no clue.
Exactly. Yeah, I have letters, you know, emails between he and Janis Ian still. Pia Zadora was a great friend of his. Rick Dees, you know, he got his career started. Dan Patrick was nothing on ESPN. He got him going. So there's just, you know, a lot of his. I got to meet Bobby Sherman, you know, which was the thrill of my life in third grade. Peter, Paul, and Mary, you know, we were back in the dressing room, you know. Leon Russell. I mean, it just goes on and on, you know, the experiences that we had because of him. Yeah, it was something.
That is absolutely amazing. If you're just joining us, longtime Buffalo broadcaster and legend, Art Wander, died last night. He was 98 years old, and joining us right now is our friend Kelly Clem, Art Wander's daughter. Art had 2 kids, Kelly and a son, Scott, who used to come by the radio station all the time back on Franklin Street and Delaware Avenue. And as far as his broadcasting career, which is how most, I mean, obviously the guy was a great dad. As far as his broadcasting career, with which people I think should be somewhat familiar, unless they're very, very young, did he have other than working with me, did he have a favorite moment in all of those years on the air, or a favorite story or two he'd tell?
I think that what he loved most was those, I don't know if you remember, but back in the day they would do commercials for Empire. And there was one where he was in a locker. They locked him up in a locker and they had him, his mouth duct taped and his hands were tied. And they said, okay, go get him. And you know, because it was time for him to be on the air. And it was intimating that, you know, if he wasn't on the air, you just wanted to put the duct tape around his mouth because he never showed up. He loved that. He loved the dancing video that he did. But he really appreciated the fan. His favorite was truly the fans calling in, the regulars, you know, Eddie from the East Side and all of that. You know, I mean, he just, you know, that name is the first one that comes to mind because he was so dedicated and committed. But he loved kids. He loved when kids talked to him. And when, you know, he'd always used to complain like, God, I can't go out and have a meal without somebody coming up. But in deep down, when you look looked at his eye, he loved it. He loved every minute of the fanfare and the celebrity that he created around here. You know,
I shall take the bait. How did your dad deal with it when he left the airwaves and he retired? Did he enjoy being basically Joe Anonymous, or did he kind of miss the days where people would interrupt his dinner?
Yeah, they still did. Today, as a matter of fact, like, I had to make all the you know, perfunctory phone calls to Social Security and all those things. And he dedicated his body to science. And when I got on the phone with the person at UB Donor, we talked for 40 minutes. And it's been happening all day. Like, any sort of, you know, logistical thing that I have to go through, everybody wants to tell me the stories that they remember of him. So no matter where he went, it never ended after he retired. Even young kids, you know, who were standing with their parents or their grandparents were really, you know, taken by his entertainment sort of aura that he had around about himself.
Well, your dad, Art Wander, who died last night, 98, Buffalo broadcasting legend, your dad also was very, very, he was trim. He was fit. Did he have a special fitness regimen or diet that he followed? Because, I mean, he made it to 98 years old, and I don't think Art ever expected to live to be 98.
Yeah, I don't think Make America Healthy Again is going to appreciate this, but the man lived on Slim Jims, Twinkies, and cigarettes. And, you know, and yep. He was not a spokesperson for health. But he did, he was so, I think his metabolism was so on fire all the time that he never really, you know, gained a lot of weight. And he was always active. 3 months ago, you know, he was walking down to the piano at the nursing home and still playing piano. So there was never this sense of this slow, steady decline. And he really did watch what he ate as he got older. He quit smoking about 25 years ago, cold turkey. And I think that really did put years on his life because he did. He never drank. He never did any drugs, despite all of the, you know, the entertainment industries, you know, sort of that was just sort of the thing. But he always stayed healthy in that regard. And I think it helped, you know.
Well, Kelly, this isn't going to be news to you, but your dad, Art Wander, there are a few times I can remember it being a nice, warm, sunny day. It'd be 12 noon, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'd be leaving the station. He would be going out to play 18 holes of golf, knowing that he had a show to do at night, which was going to be three or four hours. And I looked at him, Art, where do you find the energy for this?
Yeah, he was just a little, you know, ever ready bunny. He never stopped. He never sat down. And when he used to fly us wherever he was working at the time. So Scott and I would fly across the country at very young ages. And he was he was so short, you know. But what happened was we would leave a restaurant or leave whatever we were doing, some, you know, baseball event or whatever, and he would just take off because he wasn't parental. You know, he didn't know he had to watch us, right? So I would, like, grab my brother, and I would just watch. He always wore a hat, and I would just watch this hat sort of bounce through a crowd, and just that's how I kept my eye on him, so I knew we'd eventually end up together. But he was always 10 steps ahead of us, so it was always that way. He's never known a slow day in his life.
Wow. These are incredible stories of your dad, Art Wander. What would you like people who maybe used to listen to Art or watch Art, what would you like them to remember most about him? Because the thing I'm going to remember is the fact that he was on the phone with you every single day or night, even though your parents were not together. That is amazing. But what do you want people to remember about your dad?
Yeah, I think the fascinating thing about him was his brilliance. His recall of detail, whether it was music, you know, the dates of, you know, an album coming out or a song or a, you know, an artist that we used to play a game, like, you know, just naming artists and with the letters of a certain, you know, in the alphabet. His brain was incredible, and he left school. He, you know, he was not academic at all, but he read voraciously, and he retained everything and then was able to recall up until his last days. And I also think the most important thing is that despite not having a homey upbringing, the love that he had in his heart for children and for families and for doing the right thing is something that I don't think people heard when he was hanging up on people and saying, his whole persona and his shtick was, you know, this angry man who said, "Don't get me started," and hung up. But underneath all of that was a really gentle man. And that I loved about him. And I hope his listeners know that now.
Yeah, you know what? Over the years, I have never met anybody who didn't like Art Wander. It was basically uniform love from everybody who listened to him, even if he'd hung up on them. They loved him.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. I lost my identity as soon as they found out who my father was. Like, I was Kelly and then I became Art Wander's daughter. And that was always how I was introduced, because people loved him so much.
Well, I know that right now you're in that phase of, "My dad died. I can't believe it." And I know that he's never going to leave you. He's always going to be with you in one way, shape, or form within you. That never goes away. But how are you doing right now? How's Scott doing with everything?
Yeah, I think, you know, both my parents had a beautiful way of preparing us, you know, by saying, you know, "We're going to be fine. Please don't be afraid. We can't wait to go." My father was really waiting for a while. He felt like his mission had been complete. And he would say to me all the time, "I don't know what he's waiting for. I don't know why he's not taking me yet." So knowing having the peace and knowing that he was ready really gives me solace. And my faith also helps me tremendously to know that it was just, you know, a transition and not the end. And certainly opportunities like this to share the memories that I have and to share them publicly is such a gift for me. I'm sure there'll come a time when things will come up and be uprooted in terms of sadness, but I have such great joy in knowing how much he was loved, and thank you for the opportunity to share all these stories about him with you and his audience. So.
Absolutely, positively. He's always going to be a part of your life. You're always going to hear his voice. You're always going to remember the things he said when you most need to remember them. You're going to remember the songs that he played with. Yes. There's so many things you're going to remember, and I'm glad that it sounds like you're going to be able to do it with a smile instead of becoming lachrymose or very upset by what you're experiencing.
Absolutely. And he's responsible for that, which is wonderful.
Is there going to be a public memorial or anything like that?
We'll probably have a mass, and I'll post it on Facebook, and I'll, it'll be, he didn't want anything, which is so much not like him, but this part of his life, he didn't feel, you know, needed to be showcased, which is, you know, very humble for him. So I will have a mass, and I will put it in the paper at that time. So if people want to come and share in that, more than welcome to come. We would love to hear your stories about him as well.
And you mentioned Facebook. Is that Kelly Clem, C-L-E-M?
Correct.
On Facebook, Kelly Clem, C-L-E-M. Kelly, thank you so much for joining us. Obviously, your dad dying last night. You've got a lot of things going on, including those internal emotional things, even though right now you're still in that phase of, "I can't believe this has happened. Even though I knew it was going to happen, I can't believe it." So hang in there and reach out anytime you want. And thank you for sharing your stories of your dad, Art Wander. He was a great guy.
Thank you so much, Tom. God bless you now.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Clem, who is the daughter of Art Wander, Tiny Tot of the Kilowatt, who died last night at the age of 98. And Art was a real special person just with whom to work. I did not know about these other facets of his life because, you know, when you meet somebody when they're rather up there in years, you kind of forget that they had a whole lifetime or two before they met you. And I wish I had a chance to talk to him about Dylan and Zappa and the Beatles and everything like that. But Art has a storied career. Art Wander, rest in peace, buddy. Take it easy. All right, it is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Oh, I get it, Tanner. I'm the one leaving on a jet plane. Ah, John Denver, I believe, wrote that song. Anyway, welcome to the show. Hey, one of the things I want to do coming up, not at this very moment, but not very long from now, I would like to talk to those of you in North Tonawanda, about the RIV. Yeah, actually, I would, but that's not going to be the subject, because those of you who live around Digihost, a crypto mining company, I do not envy you at all, because I cannot imagine having, what is it, 70 decibels of sound 24/7, 365, and having to live with that. I can't imagine it. And, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about a situation in Attica, maybe 15 years ago, where a smoldering fire was spewing debris all over the place and particles all over the place. And I went out there and I smelled it. It was terrible. And Attica found itself in a position of being between two media markets, Rochester and Buffalo, so nobody really wanted to take up the cause. So I went out there and I took up the cause because, you know, I'm an idiot. But eventually that situation did get resolved. But if you are one of the DigiHost people, or you've got something in your neighborhood that is absolutely driving you crazy in terms of your quality of life, be listening, because I want to get into that just ahead here. So you DigiHost people in North Tonawanda, make sure you get on the phone to your friends who are also affected by DigiHost and the noise. People out there need to hear the stories, just like they needed to hear the stories from Attica about going into their homes. They had just dusted. They go out for a couple hours. They go back in and they slide their finger across the table and you get this filth on it. It was just hideous. And to think it was going into their lungs. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, right now, we're going to stay in North Tonawanda, and I don't know if this is something that's going to get any phone calls or not, but it's one of those things that just it sends my radar up. Okay, my radar is up because, well, let me explain why. Dateline, North Tonawanda. Michael Bellring. Anybody know Mike out there? Okay, he started Bellring's Towing from very humble beginnings. I'm stealing Mary Alice Demler here from WGRZ.com. Mike dropped out of college. He worked 24/7 behind the wheel of a single tow truck. So he was able to build Bellring's Towing into a major player in Western New York. He's got four places across Niagara and Erie counties, and his reputation is one of reliability and one of growing a business. In fact, I called Bellring's Towing on Eggert Road before coming on the air today because I wanted to have Michael Bellring on with us. I wanted to find out if he was able to speak about this situation or if his attorney told him not to say anything, which would probably be what the attorney told him. So I was going to say, give me the name of your attorney. And let's see if we can get him on. But anyway, here's the situation. Okay. There's something that smells about this situation. And I wonder what it might be. Last year, the North Tonawanda PD put out bids. They wanted a 1-year towing contract, So Mike Bellring, he submitted the lowest bid. He was considered to be well qualified to do the job and to obtain the contract. But what happened is he didn't get it. And now people, especially Mike, they're asking questions about fairness, transparency, and political influence in North Tonawanda city government. And I think as this goes on, you will understand why those concerns are being raised. This goes back well over a year, all right? The NTPD, North Tonawanda Police Department, they put out a request for proposal, RFP. What they wanted was a towing company for North Tonawanda. So Mike Bellring's Towing Company, Bellring's Towing, they put in a bid and were, as I mentioned, considered more than qualified because his company already gives service, well, provides service, they don't give it away, to Niagara County Sheriffs, Niagara Parks Police, AAA, and Bellring's company was providing service alongside the city's former contractor, United Towing. And according to the police chief, Keith Glass of NT, no complaints were recorded. And I want to thank Mary Ellis Demler for writing a great story at WGRZ.com, which I'm trying to read as if I wrote it, but Mary Ellis actually wrote it, and I know Mary Ellis, I'm sure she's okay with it. So anyway, the North Tonawanda Common Council, they met in July, and they approved, they met in July to approve the contract. But for some strange reason, they didn't. So instead of Bellring getting the contract, you know, this 1-year contract with North Tonawanda PD, the council tabled it. They didn't do anything with it. Well, that's kind of weird. So what happened is the police chief went ahead with a process of issuing permits And Mike Bellring's Bellring's Towing was put on a rotation with United Towing. Now, in November, the council voted. This time, the council awarded a 5-year contract. Well, wait a minute. The request for proposals was for a 1-year contract. That's what Bellring's Towing put in with North Tonawanda, a 1-year proposal. But suddenly, the goalpost got moved, apparently, and they award a 5-year contract exclusively, shutting out everybody else, exclusively to United Towing. Now, that's pretty interesting because Mike Bellring, he expected to get this contract outright. He expected to just get the contract because low bid, he felt, and very qualified to do it. Mike Bellring of Bellring's Towing, as you might imagine, he spent tens of thousands of dollars so far on a lawsuit. He's spending tens of thousands of dollars on a lawyer, so I really don't think this is about money at this point. I'm not sure what the contract itself paid, whether it was an annual fee, whether it was a per call. I don't know that, but tens of thousands of dollars on an attorney? Hello. Now, here's where it gets very interesting. And once again, I'm going to steal from WGRZ-TV, two on your side. They uncovered some interesting ties. Oh, did you smell this one coming? Some interesting ties between the North Tonawanda Council, some of its members, and United Towing. Wait a minute. You mean to say that people on the board of North Tonawanda have connections with United Towing that might put their ability to avoid even the appearance of impropriety in question? Well, I'm afraid so. Let's see. Here's the deal. One of the council members, Joe Levy, he did not vote. He abstained from a procedural vote, which was related to the towing situation. All right. He abstained from that, practicing a stern and strict abstinence. And he didn't publicly explain or file a written reason, which is actually required by the laws of New York State. So it turns out Channel 2, great work, by the way, Channel 2, they looked into it. And this Joe Levy guy works as a sales and marketing manager for a company that is the parent company of United Towing. And he's even listed as a contact for United Towing's website as of the time of the article being posted at WGRZ.com. Well, now that's very interesting, isn't it? First of all, he needed to explain, for legality's sake, why he abstained from a certain vote, and he failed to do that. Okay, according to WGRZ. And look, how could somebody, let me get back on the pathway here, back on the trail. So in addition to working for the parent company of United Towing, Levy of the North Tonawanda Council received $1,500 at least in contributions from United Towing and its affiliates. And two of the other people on the North Tonawanda Council, Frank DiBernardo and Robert Schmiegel, they also received what are called substantial donations from companies affiliated with United Towing. Okay, does this stink just a little bit to you? And let me just explain that if you are in certain professions, and I would think that government should be one of those professions, that it's not just impropriety. Because I don't know what happened. I don't have affidavits. I don't have depositions. I don't have anything. I don't have any evidence. I've got a story on Channel 2's website. That's what I've got. But if all of these facts are true, and knowing Mary Alice Demler, I would say 99.999% chance everything she says is true, okay? Because she's really good. She's awesomely talented and very intelligent, and I applaud her work, as always. But I don't know what the story is. But when you talk about impropriety or the appearance of impropriety, I don't understand, for the life of me, why somebody sitting on the North Tonawanda City Council wouldn't say, well, you know what? I really shouldn't be voting on this particular contract because I received some money from United Towing or companies affiliated with United Towing. I got to bow out of this for obvious reasons. I need to sit aside on this one. Why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you do that? Because I will tell you, I have no desire to be ever in an elected office, okay? Can we establish that? Yeah, it's never going to happen. But if I were in another life or in another realm of existence, in another dimension, if I had received campaign contributions from a company or the parent company of the company, I would absolutely recuse myself from voting on anything having to do with that company. You know why? Because of the appearance of impropriety. Because I'm not saying that, yes, I can state without effect that these three people on the board of North Tonawanda, they acted improperly. I can't say that. But what I can say is there's also the appearance of impropriety. And prima facie, I got to say that this kind of has a smell to it. I'm not calling anybody a crook or a criminal, not saying anybody broke any laws. I'm just saying, you know what? You should have known better. You should have known better. And I know it's difficult in an era where Nancy Pelosi's return on investment outpaces the hedge funds on Wall Street. You know, you wonder, well, wait, why should the North Tonawanda people play any different than Nancy Pelosi did? Yeah, that's a good point. Not going to argue. But Nancy Pelosi, as far as I know, is not subject to the laws governing public officials in New York State. Okay. But nobody is exempt, no matter what the law may say. Nobody is exempt from appearance of impropriety. And I must tell you that there is enough here for me to say, you know what, there's a stink. There's a bit of a smell, kind of like that August beer tent fart that just lingers and lingers and lingers. It's kind of like that, you know, maybe a bit of an onion aroma to it. If you guys have anything to say about this, I'm just kind of curious, but I just wanted to bring it to your attention in case you don't watch Channel 2 or you don't read what Mary Alice writes on the WGRZ.com website, from which I stole every bit of almost every bit of information that I shared with you. Some of it I found out elsewhere, but pretty much stuck to the script. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. See, it's this kind of thing, I think, the appearance of something a little bit weird that doesn't seem quite right. It's the appearance. I'm not saying anybody didn't do anything right. I'm just saying it kind of appears like it could have been the case. Yeah, I think I've nuanced that very well. Thank you. I mean, there are things that bother me about this. There are a lot of things that bother me about this. Number one, if you are on the City Council of North Tonawanda and your request for proposals is for 1 year, but the ultimate contract you award is for 5 years, I don't understand that. I truly do not understand that. Was that open to additional bids? That is unclear to me, whether it was open to Bellrang's Towing or was it just awarded to United Towing? I do not know. That's something. And I would also like to know if there were, in fact, violations of state law from the abstaining in a procedural vote council member in North Tonawanda by not explaining his reasons for abstention. Okay. Yeah, abstention can be kind of lonely. But I would like to know. And the result, the upshoot of it is that Bellring, Mike Bellring of Bellring's Towing, he has spent, he says, tens of thousands of dollars on a lawyer to fight what happened. And basically, he wants people to know. So I kind of like did that whole thing for Mike Bellring. You know, maybe I'll need him for towing someday. You never know. But anyway, stuff like that really, really stinks. And I wish that we knew more about every one of these situations which has the appearance of impropriety or possible impropriety. I'm assigning neither title to this particular circumstance. I will simply say that I do believe there's a bit of an odor about it, and I'd like to see people with some spunk and people who cut some ice investigate it a little bit further. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Not jumping to any conclusions, not calling anybody a criminal, but I can tell you that I would say that it kind of seems like there is an appearance of possible impropriety. Not calling anybody a criminal. I'm just saying I'd like it investigated more because I think people need more facts. Never go wrong with a fact. If I don't like the fact, I'll just make up another one. It is 3:55 at News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, that was an attempted humor. I apologize. We did, by the way, reach out to Mike Bellring, but again, I didn't have a chance to speak with him. So Oh, apparently that's going to happen after the news at 4. All right, we will talk with Mike Bellring after the news at 4. Speak of the devil, and in he walks. On News Radio 930 WBEN about this situation, Tom Pluckett is standing by with the latest in news. And yeah, I want to talk to Mike about how stressful this has been, because it's not easy being in a lawsuit. Whether you are a plaintiff or the defendant, it is very stressful, especially when you've got tens of thousands of dollars invested in an attorney. And I hope that some provision is made that if Mike Bellring is found to have been boned by the North Tonawanda Common Council, where he gets his legal fees compensated. I'm sorry to say that to the taxpayers of North Tonawanda, but I don't think he should be on the hook for it, even to make a very valid civics point. The other thing I want to get into, oddly enough, hey, North Tonawanda, you guys are getting a lot of play on my show lately, but North Tonawanda, I do want to get into the DigiHost humming thing. Because I've seen people interviewed about that, I've heard people interviewed, I've heard people talking about it, and I cannot believe what you people have to endure who live around that cryptocurrency mining company. It's like a vacuum cleaner that's always on around you. I find vacuum cleaners to be relaxing. 24/7? I don't think so. It's 3:56 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the show. It is Bowerly. 8 minutes after 4 is Arthur Pressman, WBEN traffic attorney time. Or actually, that would be WBEN Arthur Pressman traffic attorney time, because we're not traffic attorneys here at the radio station. But there's always law school. You never know. And we started the last hour talking with the daughter, Kelly Clem, of Art Wander, great sportscaster who had a fascinating and storied career. Art died last night, the tiny tot of the kilowatt, as I think Tom mentioned, and he was 98 years of age and just a tremendous guy, a really awesome human being. Had the pleasure of working with him for many years at the old radio station, which is now owned by the same owners who own this radio station. But started that hour with Kelly, and then got into the situation in North Tonawanda, which has caught my interest because I really don't like things that stink. I really don't like things that seem like they possibly could be appearances of impropriety, because it's not whether or not you did something wrong. It's, did it look like you did something wrong? And joining us right now, actually, is a woman whose writing I find absolutely delightful. And it's so easy to read because I thought I was reading something I'd written myself. Mary Alice Demler from Channel 2. And then we're going to get to Mike Bellring, who is at the center of the controversy as a potential victim of, could it be, influence over the North Tonawanda Council? I don't know. I said, could it be? That's an interrogative, not a declarative. Mary Alice Demler, thanks for checking in. Appreciate it.
Good afternoon, Tom.
Doesn't it really suck when some guy on the radio steals your work?
I don't consider it at all. I love that you're amplifying it because I think it's an important story that you may not be a resident of North Tonawanda or even a drive-through, but it applies to every single community in Western New York. So it's a good lesson, too, for maybe newly elected town or city council members about how it's important to follow the rules.
There are some things that I do not understand about this story, and before we bring Mike into the discussion, I'd like to know what you have found out. First of all, talking about North Tonawanda and a request for proposals for a towing service, and the initial meeting to decide that Mike Bellring of Bellring's Towing was the guy who was going to get the contract, or his company was anyway. It was basically tabled at that meeting, and there were some procedural things which went on, which we'll, I'm sure, get into. The long and the short of it is, where I'm confused is, North Tonawanda put out requests for proposals for a one-year towing contract, and the company that got it, United Towing, got a five-year deal. What happened?
Correct. Well, United is a company that changed names a few years ago. They were known for people in NT as Certified for a number of years. So this was a long-time service provider for the city of North Tonawanda. And I spoke with some residents who had reached out to police in the mayor's office who have some complaints, which I'm told is not unusual, and it happens in every municipality. People are in a jam. They need to get their cars towed. But the chief was in a situation where he felt, like other municipalities, that the city of North Tonawanda should have more than one provider because that would serve residents better. The city of North Tonawanda doesn't make any money off of the towing. It's just really a service that they're providing. And then the tow company works directly with the resident or visitor, whoever had their car towed. So the police chief just wanted to have a second provider. He wasn't looking necessarily to get rid of United. He was really just interested in adding another provider or two to the city's stable, if you will. So when they put out the request for proposal, United was one of the companies that applied, along with Bellrang, and then there was a third that ended up dropping out. I was told that Bellrang was the lowest bidder, but then the chief wanted to look at the fees and make sure that if he was going to bring two towing companies on, that they were charging the same rates. So there was a little bit of an adjustment from the original request or the original response to the proposal from Bellrang and United. So they came up with a fee schedule that everyone agreed with, and the police chief presented those two providers at the council meeting last July, 2024, and said, we've already talked to these providers, they've agreed to this fee schedule, and we want to offer contracts to them both and put them on a rotating schedule.
And if it's a rotating schedule, then what happened to shut out Mike Bellrang and Bellrang's towing in favor of United?
Well, what happened is that the council members didn't vote on a contract last July, as the police chief was expecting. They raised some objections, and they weren't comfortable, for whatever reason, for various reasons, which were kind of unclear in the meeting. If you watch all the meeting video like I did, they didn't understand why the city needed two towing contractors. And the police chief made an effort to explain to them why he preferred to have two. But they didn't want to vote on a contract that day. They wanted to table it, put it off for another month or two. But it didn't go on a month or two. It went on several months. They ended up not awarding a contract until November. So what the mayor and the police chief did is they created a permit process, which is in the mayor's purview to do, because there was no contracted towing company at that point. United's contract had expired in June, so the mayor created this permit process, which is a temporary ad hoc, so that they could go month to month and engage these two towing companies in anticipation of the fact that the council would eventually award the contract. But to everyone's surprise, in November, they didn't award the contract to the two providers. They awarded just one contract to United, and it was going to be a five-year deal instead of a one-year deal, which, again, is not what the original RFP stipulated.
Okay. Well, now, this is very interesting. And before we bring Mike Bellrang into our conversation, I know you've got a little newscast you've got to do in less than an hour. But I'm going to keep you till, are you good till 4:26?
I can do that, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Mary Alice Demler from Channel 2 WGRZ TV. But before we get any further with this, the reason why this happens to be newsworthy, this contract of towing in North Tonawanda, is a certain company ended up being the exclusive North Tonawanda towing provider, and the company that got that deal just happens to have connections with three of the people on the board in North Tonawanda, on the council. Could you explain that, Mary Alice?
I did my due diligence, Tom, as you know I would, and found that the now president of the council, at the time he was just a regular serving older person, is employed by the parent company of United Towing. Auto Collision and Glass in North Tonawanda owns United Towing, and he is their marketing PR person. And even if you look at the United Towing website, Joe Levy is on the website as the contact person, and he never disclosed that in any of the council meetings when he began abstaining on votes about the contract. The original vote to table, he actually voted, and he should not have, in July. And then from August until November, when they did a roll call vote, he just said abstain. But the state law, New York State General Municipal Law, Section 803, states that any municipal officer, including common council members, who have a direct or an indirect financial interest in a matter must publicly disclose in writing the nature and extent of that interest, and also and enter it into the public record during the meeting. So they have to say it publicly in the meeting, and then they have to put it in writing with the city clerk what their conflict of interest is. So the public knows, I work for this company, and I'm not going to be voting or taking part in this discussion. And that's the law. It's really pretty clear and straightforward.
And the other two other members of the City of North Tonawanda Board, they received as well contributions from United or its parent company or other affiliates?
That's right. United is one of the affiliates of Auto, I'm drawing a blank. I'm a little bit overtired from Auto Collision and Glass. Yeah, so either them or one of their affiliate companies made campaign contributions to those two other council members, Frank DiBernardo and Robert Schmeigel, you know, to the tune of about $1,500 each. So all three of those council members received campaign contributions, and I think most city attorneys would agree that that should have also been publicly disclosed so that the public knew that they were receiving those contributions.
All right. Let's bring in Mike Bellring of Bellring's Towing. And Mike, before we go any further, Mary Alice is going to stick around with us for a few minutes, if that's okay with you. Is that all right with you, sir?
Hello, sir. Yes, Tom. That's fine by me. How are you?
Outstanding. Probably better than you are. The purpose of your lawsuit. Now, first of all, against whom is the lawsuit filed and what are you really looking for? What's the agenda?
So it's filed against the city council members of North Tonawanda. And that's a great question. I want fairness out of all of this, right? Like, I'm just a kid from Niagara Falls that somehow worked his butt off in life to get this far in life, and I'm at a point where it's like I'm done standing on the sidelines and watching everybody get beat up by, you know, how do you say, elected officials, right? And I'm fighting for what's right. So what is right is I think I should get the contract. I should get paid back my legal fees, which are north of, they're tens of thousands of dollars. And I think there should be some kind of compensation for, you know, I invested last year, I bought four trucks, hired people, my overhead went up. So there should be, I would feel, some kind of compensation, right? For, you know, me. And this has been 12 months of my life, like day in, day out, mentally exhausting, while still running my small business, fighting this every single day. So,
understood. Obviously, you two know each other, but Mary Alice, what do you want to follow up with Mike Bellring about in terms of this contract for towing story out of NT, which has a fetid aroma about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Mike has quite a story. I had not met him previous to this. He reached out to me. I mean, I wear my love for my hometown, the city of North Tonawanda, on my sleeve, and he shared with me some paperwork and told me his story about, this was actually the second time that he had applied for this contract in North Tonawanda. And I guess my question for Mike is, why is it that that he was willing to fight this time and not just accept the fact that they didn't want to hire an outside company, essentially? That was the tenor of a lot of the conversation with the council members.
Well, what a great question. Let's get a response from Mike. Great question from Mary Alice. You think she does this for a living, but why are you fighting this time?
So that's a great question. In life, you get older and life gets shorter, and you realize you got to stand up at some point and fight for what's right. You got to fight for yourself. And I felt that, you know, almost 22 years in the business, that this was a perfect time for me to stand up and fight. I got an amazing team of people that work by my side every day that support me to do this. I was like, there's no better time, and I'm not going to wait 5 more years to fight. We're going to do it now. And, you know, it's, Tom, this isn't just about me, right? This is about, you know, my team members that come in every single day that depend on me to provide for them week in and week out. It's for my family. It's my friends, my customers at all that live in North Tonawanda and surrounding cities. They just deserve better. And I'm sick of watching people get pushed around. So,
Mary Alice, I have you for about two more minutes. I will yield the floor to you, Senator. What is the next question or comment you'd like to make or ask of Mike?
Well, I do want to, I think Mike should address the issue of his company not being based in North Tonawanda, but I've got an education myself on how the towing industry worked, and I talked to a couple other mayors and town supervisors who also hire a number of towing companies. Mike, what is your response time typically, and you do other work in Niagara County, even though you have a shop physically in the town of Tonawanda. Tell us a little bit about that. I think the audience would be interested in knowing how quickly your guys show up.
Indeed.
So location-wise, for my guys, because we are a AAA provider, I have trucks that service Niagara and Erie County. So base location, not relevant, because my guys respond from their point in time. Their response times are within the 15, 20, 25-minute time that most departments want them to have. When it pertains to a location or Tonawanda, I approached this years ago. I would invest in that city all day long, but it's hard to invest if there's no return to that, right? Like, so it's hard. Like, I give back to this city, like we're doing Thursday on the Water. We have for like the past 8 years. So, do I need a location? That wasn't part of the RFP, but if it was, I would get a location in our Tonawanda, which I have access to if needed.
Very, very interesting. Mary Alice, I want to thank you for touching base with us, and I want to be respectful of your newscast prep time. So I do thank you for getting in touch, and I'm glad you're able to join us because you did a great job with this story, as you do with every story you handle. So thank you.
Thank you, Tom. We appreciate it. And, you know, I really love the fact that you champion our local business owners and also our citizens that need an outlet really to talk about what's going on in their local government. It's so important. And, you know, we used to have newspapers that showed up at every single council meeting and reported what was going on. And that doesn't happen anymore. And I think in this instance, anyway, you see the impact. A lot of times these local lawmakers they're working in a bubble, and they're not getting the publicity necessarily for their day-to-day actions like they really should and like they did back in the day. I always say there's a perfect correlation between good government and good journalism. You know, when you have journalists showing up and reporting for the public what's going on, you get better government. And citizens can play a role. I get an awful lot of tips from people who go to those town council meetings and listen and then let me know what's going on, and then I'll show up and I can do the digging and I'll sit there and watch hours of meeting video. It's kind of what I do for fun on a Saturday night. How sad is that, Tom?
And I have no comments because I watch YouTube videos in the history of salt. So, Mary Alice, I got to let you go. I'm so glad you could join us. And someday you must define to me exactly what this newspaper is of which you speak. I've heard the term maybe vaguely. I don't recall it. Thank you, Mary Alice Demler from Channel 2 WGRZ. Mike Balring, we're going to keep him as long as he's cool with it after the news at 4:30. Poor fella called in, thought it was going to be 5 minutes, ends up being 50 minutes of his time. Yeah, leave it to Tom. So anyway, we'll get more from Mike Balring coming up, this story in North Tonawanda. And, you know, this could be happening where you live, too. I mean, there might be people on your town board, village board, city council who do things, and maybe they do it because they're ignorant of what the law may be. Maybe they're doing it because they're ignorant of the appearance of impropriety concept to give people the benefit of the doubt. I don't know. But I certainly think that more investigation is needed on this by people who know the law and who are able to subpoena witnesses and stuff like that if necessary. It is 4:27 at News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. This will be my last show for a couple of weeks. We're going with listeners on our wonderful trip to France and Luxembourg, actually flying into Germany. Joining us is Mike Balring, and he is with Balring's Towing, a business he started and has built into the incredible success it is. But the story today is not about towing. It is about North Tonawanda and the Council of North Tonawanda awarding a towing contract to a company which has connections to three council members in North Tonawanda, including one who works for the parent company of the towing company that ended up getting a five-year exclusive deal out of North Tonawanda. And I think some reasonable questions are being asked about impropriety or even appearances of impropriety, because on the surface, if every fact that I have read and we've heard is correct, I would say there's at least an appearance of impropriety. Maybe it can be readily explained. I don't know. But Mike Bellring of Bellring's Towing, which did not get the contract, he's filed a lawsuit against the city of North Tonawanda. Mike, what are you hearing behind the scenes through the grapevine about what happened with the council in North Tonawanda? You've got your feet to the ground.
I do. I try to keep out of all of that stuff, but there just seems to be a lot of behind the scenes or closed door meetings that happen right out of the public eye. So to know exactly what's happening, I really can't give you that observation, right? Unfortunately, I wish I could. I mean, I could speculate, but I don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
Well, no, I mean, I would not let you speculate to the point where you might get yourself into some issues, because I got to look out for you, Mike. I'm just saying, you're emotionally vested in this thing. The thing that just gets me the most about this is, okay, if you're elected to public office, you have to be acutely aware of appearances of impropriety. With respect to your professional life. I mean, you want to make sure that people know that nothing funky is going on, nothing fishy is going on. And if I had received, I think anybody would say this, anybody listening to my voice, if you were an elected official and you had received, let's say, $1,500 from a company connected to a company to which you were about to give a five-year monopoly towing contract in North Tonawanda, would it not be reasonable to ask you to disclose that you have a pre-existing relationship with that company or its affiliates in some way, shape, or form? I don't think that's unreasonable for people to want, Mike.
No, I would think not myself also, but I think they just get so consumed with everyday life. And, you know, I've sat through a lot of the city council meetings recently, and I mean, a lot of people don't even attend these meetings, and the ones that do, Tom, are the same people that want to voice, you know, their opinions of their city on certain topics. But I mean, they're sort of like out of the public eye. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of checks and balances, you know, in the city council meetings. I think they might just feel that, you know, if no one's paying attention, who's going to ask questions? And this time around, I had my eyes on the prize for multiple years now, so I was prepared going into it. And luck have it, they crossed my path, and here we are, right?
Mike, did you or your business make any contributions to people who sit on the North Tonawanda Council?
We have not, no.
Okay. So basically, I'm thinking about this. The difference between your company and the company that got the contract is the company that got the contract made contributions to three of the board of the council members, one of whom works for a company affiliated with United Towing. Is that the only difference?
I do Mary Alice's observation. I would think so. Yes.
Has your attorney? Go ahead. Well, no, has your attorney made any attempt to contact any investigative people within New York State government to, you filed a civil suit, but might there be some kind of a legal action with some more teeth in it that the state might have to be a party to in this matter?
Good question. I would have to defer that to my legal team for their opinion and guidance on, you know, how we proceed moving forward through this.
What does your gut tell you? Was this something that was intentional? It was an active, yeah, you know, these guys give us money. They got to get the contract. This bell ring guy didn't give us anything. He gives us squat. Do you think this was intentional, or do you think that somehow it was an innocent oversight which had nothing to do with the fact that one of the members of the council works for a related company and three of the members of the council aggregate receive contributions from the company or its affiliates?
I mean, I can't speak for them, right? But I don't think it's innocent. I think anyone that looks at this and looks at the facts of the case can make their own, you know, determination that what they did was wrong. There's no other way to look at it, right? Like, I did nothing wrong. The RFP came out. We were qualified. We submitted. The chief and the mayor both said, "Wow, yeah, this is perfect. You got a large organization we could use to help in the city." Like, it's that simple. And then just months over months is when they just dragged it out. And then it was the middle of November, right near the holidays. And I just get an email, Tom, an email from the chief out of nowhere saying, "Thank you for everything, but per the city council, we're going to go a different direction. Have a nice day. This will end at midnight tonight."
Wow. That's a nut punch.
Yeah. At the holidays. I invested. I bought all these trucks. I mean, it's not going to lie. You can hear it in my voice. Like, I am mentally, you know, physically and somewhat financially exhausted fighting this. And on a side note, I'll tell you, I sat through a city council meeting, you know, during this duration, and this guy walked up, younger guy. I thought of myself years ago in front of the council, like, nervous, and he tried to present a business plan to the city of North Tonawanda. And right out of the gate, Tom, they just knocked him right down. Like, "Oh, that won't work here. Oh, you can't do that here. Oh, nope, God, Bob, you should go to Tonawanda." And I just sat there, and I'm just like, I can't believe this is happening. But that was me years ago, right? He just said, "Okay, can I leave the literature?" And they were like, "Sure." And then they said to him, "What'd you do, knock out a small tree to cut all this paper?" It's like, why would you say that to somebody? So
wow.
I sort of got that day is when I was like, you know what? I'm not just fighting for me. I'm fighting for him as well and everybody else.
You know, this kind of reminds me of a call we had a few weeks ago. Keep in mind, I'm a big fan of North Tonawanda and the entertainment district of North Tonawanda. I love what they have done in North Tonawanda, which I think was largely private, but I could be mistaken. But we had a call from somebody saying that a developer wanted to put something really nice on Tonawanda Island, where the shores is, the other end of the island, and basically got shot down by the government officials in North Tonawanda. Didn't hear back from that individual, but that was his claim. But have you, prior to initiate, how long have you been involved in this lawsuit, Mike?
The process started really, the process about November of last year is when, you know, we really kicked things off. But we've been, you know, reviewing this since this thing started over a year ago. So, I had my assumptions that we might end up being here. I don't think they thought that I would take it this far, but I mean, they're learning fast, and I'm not giving up, and I believe I'm on the right side of this.
Well, you have to excuse me because I'm kind of a stupid guy, Mike. And even after Mary Alice described what happened, I'm still a little unclear because I've got a very thick skull as to how a request for proposals for a one-year deal from North Tonawanda ends up resulting in a five-year contract, which excludes you. They have a monopoly. United Towing has a monopoly. You are excluded from that contract, and it was a five-year contract. Did they put out another RFP for 5 years? I mean, how do you put out a request for a one-year proposal and then award a contract of 5 years? Wouldn't they have to do another RFP? Did they do that? Please, answer.
You would – great question, Tom. You would think so. You would think so, but – all these city council meetings, to her point, were recorded, and you can watch them. And at one meeting, they actually just said, "We're no longer doing one, we're going to do five." And it's like, it was like, is this really happening? Like, you're going to move out the one contract and put in the five-year contract? So, I mean, again, I'm not calling out people per se, but what they did, I feel, was wrong, right?
Well, I will.
Hey, Tom, I'm not that smart either. I'm just a kid from the fall. So,
no. You know. Well, oh, I'm very low IQ. But as far as, no, look, I don't know if anything wrong was done. All I can say at this point, given what I think I know, is there's a fetid smell about it, and it certainly appears as though something improper may have happened. I will say that it does have the aroma of the appearance of impropriety, but in terms of criminality or violating state laws, I don't think I have enough evidence one way or the other to say it. I'd like to talk to the council members and find out, hey, you know, what were you thinking on this? But I don't know if those interviews are ever gonna happen. If they want to talk, they can send me an email. I'll see if I can work it out. I'm going to be gone for a couple of weeks. But anyway, this whole situation, I mean, one of the things, too, is given the fact that you've been in this legal situation for a while, and obviously if it's costing you tens of thousands of dollars, that's a lot of money for most people. That's costing you physically. It's costing you aggravation and stress. Is there going to come a point where you say, you know what, let sleeping dogs lie, and I got my word out about North Tonawanda and what I think happened, and it's time to give this thing a rest?
I don't think so. I do not think that I will stop fighting this. No, I don't think so, because I believe, again, that I'm on the right side of this. I did nothing wrong, and, you know, I'm going to keep beating my drum and telling people, hey, you should just open your eyes up and look at what's happening here, and hopefully the tides will shift in my favor. But, I mean, that's to be seen, right?
I think the Niagara Falls just came out of you when you said, beat my drum. I think Niagara Falls just oozed out of your mouth. I'm just saying. It was so Niagara Falls.
Tom, my wife Gina, she's born and raised in North Tonawanda. So, in a way, I'm sort of fighting for her and her family and all them, right, that have relatives there, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so we're locals.
No, that was actually a compliment, if it's okay, because of Niagara Falls, New York. That was not some kind of a hidden diss or anything like that. You talked about the money you put into the legal fees, the attorney's fees in this situation. What are you hoping for in terms of ROI, your return on investment?
That's a great question. I guess it will all depend on when this ends, right? And that'll be based on what the judge decides ultimately. So, I mean, I would like to get my money back that I put up in all of this. So that would be nice.
May I ask the value annually of the contract from North Tonawanda, or is that on a per call basis?
Well, the calls are based on their per call, but I have not been part of this long enough to see what the contract is worth, you know, every single year.
What did your lawyer tell you about your chances of success?
You know, he didn't really give me any. He just felt that we had a strong case and we will do our best to fight for what is right. And I guess we'll see how that plays out.
In your shoes, Mike, I think most people, number one, would want the contract revisited and another open bidding process after another RFP is distributed to anybody who would be a party to such matters. And number two, you want your legal fees back. Would that be satisfactory? If you had a chance to bid on the contract again without even getting the legal fees back, would that be satisfactory?
That's a good question, because honestly, Tom, I haven't given it much thought. I've been so wrapped up in fighting this that I really haven't given the thought of what the outcome should be, Dalton, except that, you know, I would have thought the contract should have been mine, right? Plus legal fees, plus compensation for my mental exhaustion and everything else in life. So,
yeah, understood. You have any kind of a time frame from your attorney?
I do not. We actually had court last week, so we're waiting for a verdict on, you know, the judge on his ruling as what he heard in court that day. And Paul Cambria is also on my legal team. He was, I believe, the co-counsel on this. So we're all waiting for some kind of response from the judge. And I guess, Tom, we will go from there.
Tell me, have the council members been deposed or have they given statements?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Were they not in court?
No. It was just the legal firm that the city of North Tonawanda hired to represent them.
All right. So basically, are they always on call for North Tonawanda, or is North Tonawanda spending money now to defend itself against your lawsuit?
Maybe a little bit of both, maybe.
Well, Mike, I want to thank you very much for joining us. I mean, the story is interesting, and you know, a lot of people might say, "Well, this story about towing doesn't really affect me." It's not really a story about towing. It's a story about how contracts are awarded by municipalities, villages, and towns in Western New York and all over America that might have a little bit of an odor about them. Correct?
Absolutely. For some reason, the towing industry over the years has gotten a bad image per se. Right. But it's one thing from day one that I've done is just try to, you know, provide great service and then, you know, give back to the communities I serve and try to change that image the best that I can, my friend.
Hey, it could have been worse. You could have gotten into the garbage business on Long Island in the 1970s. Then again, I might not be speaking with you now. So anyway, Mike Bellring, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. And I must applaud you also on your telephone answering device at your business. I called, and the professionalism was incredible. And the guy who answered the phone was awesome. He did give you the message, right?
They did. They did.
Outstanding.
I appreciate that.
All right, Mike, thanks a million, man. I appreciate your time. Good luck.
Hey, Tom, have a safe trip. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, Mike Bellring of Bellring's Towing. And I hope you guys enjoyed that. And again, you know what? It's not really a story about towing. It is a story about contracts and how they are awarded. And as Mary Alice said, you need people in media to go to these meetings. And it's tough because how many town boards, city councils, and village boards are there in Western New York? You could wear yourself out, wear yourself ragged. But you know, if you've got a tip of something that the media needs to cover, send the tip. I can't guarantee somebody's going to show up. But you know, if it wasn't for Mary Alice being contacted by people, we would never have known what was going on. And frankly, I think a lot of these smaller municipalities may kind of count on that. Ignorance is bliss, you know. They'll never know what we did. The deep state in North Tonawanda? Question mark. It is 4:57 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, coming up after the news at 5, I've been wanting to do this, and it's going to be another North Tonawanda story. I'm sorry, but it doesn't just apply to North Tonawanda. It's about quality of life. Those of you who live near DigiHost in North Tonawanda, what's the deal? What is the deal? 70 decibels, 24/7, 365. Good Lord, you should get the Nobel Prize for patience. Yeah, Chuck Schumer says he feels totally safe walking in Washington, D.C. All right, thank you, Chuck Schumer. Anyway, welcome to the program. And this part of the program, those of you, I did not come into today thinking, hey, I think I'll do a mostly North Tonawanda show today. Kind of turned out that way. But hey, there's a lot happening in North Tonawanda. And we talked about the towing situation, the contract situation, which it just seems a little off, not going to lie. But the other thing that seems a little bit off to people who live in a certain part of North Tonawanda is what we would call DigiHost, formerly, well, it was DigiHost, and now it is called DigiPower X. Man, businesses and places are changing their names constantly. Like I was saying the other night, looking at the Crossroads Arena. Yeah. So anyway, WBEN.com. North Tonawanda residents, a couple of days ago, North Tonawanda residents are struggling with noise and pollution with the crypto mining company DigiPower X, formerly known as DigiHost, along Erie Avenue. Several concerned citizens made their voices heard on Tuesday as the company faces new charges from the city. High noise levels. And before I get into the problems, this, in a way, reminds me, as I mentioned earlier, of something that was happening a few years back in Attica. And in Attica, what happened was there was this landfill fire, and it was putting out really foul stuff. It stank to high heaven, and it was also putting particulate matter into the air. And no matter how neat a housekeeper you might be, you could have the table totally clean, leave the house, come back in an hour or two, slide your finger across the table, look at it, and it would have all kinds of nastiness on it. It was dark. It was granular to some degree. It was horrible. And nobody wanted to touch it. And finally, I said, you know what? I want to get involved in this. And did a number of shows with people from Attica about this fetid aroma in the air. And eventually, it got taken care of. But North Tonawanda, it's a quality of life issue, just like it was in Attica. And quality of life issues, you know, they typically revolve around our senses, what we can hear, what we can see, maybe not so much what we can touch, but what we can hear and what we can see are two big ones. Because when you go home, maybe you're driving home right now, maybe you're already there, the last thing you want to have to do is deal with a lot of noise. And usually noise is something like, damn neighbor's kid has the stereo on all day. Do people even have stereos anymore now? I'm starting to wonder once I said that. Was that an anachronism? Anyway, the music is too loud. There we go. The music is too loud. That's a huge one. The dog won't stop barking. That also is a huge one. Dog barking complaints, loud music complaints, and try having a party in some places after maybe 10, 11 o'clock at night. It's not the easiest thing to do because somebody is always complaining because they didn't get invited to the party, which of course is one of my rules. It's an old one. I didn't make this one up. I just stole it. And it goes something like this. If you're having a party, make sure you invite everybody in a half mile radius. That way nobody can complain. But anyway, the senses are particularly affected by things we can hear and things we can see in a given neighborhood. And the noise complaints have evolved, or would that be devolved, to a new level? Because high noise levels negatively impact health. North Tonawanda residents living up to a mile or more from the DigiPower X facility on Erie Avenue, North Tonawanda, have been suffering for more than 3 years. We're hopeful that today's court proceedings will provide much needed relief. One of the North Tonawanda residents who's a member of the Climate Smart Communities Task Force, don't know what that has to do with anything, Deb Gondek said that, but concerned North Tonawanda citizens rally in front of North Tonawanda City Hall to continue raising their voices over the ongoing problems over DigiHost Bitcoin mining. And the problem is the noise. And it is unrelenting, which apparently is my new favorite word, and I shall use it unrelentingly. The noise is unrelenting, okay? It's constant, 24/7, 365. And one of the guys I saw on TV with one of the local news channels, he actually downloaded an app which is a noise meter. And he showed 70 decibels on his cell phone noise meter, which is about the same as a vacuum cleaner, which might not sound like a big deal, but if you're hearing that up to a mile away, I think that's kind of a big deal. Just saying. And I kind of like vacuum cleaners. Kind of queer for vacuum cleaners. I'm sorry. But anyway, if you live in the area of DigiPower X, formerly DigiHost, like the people in Attica did with the smell and the grit, you want to put us in the picture? How bad is it? Because personally, I cannot imagine living close to or within a mile of something that is emitting all kinds of noise for 3 bloody years. One of the people who did speak out to our Brayton said, it's clear that they don't have any regard for residents nearby, nor do they seem to care about the noise control ordinance they're violating. I know that the mayor and his team are looking at, along with the city attorney, updating the city noise ordinance to include decibel readings that take into account this low-frequency industrial noise. By the way, where else have we recently heard about low-frequency noise having bad effects on things? Oh, yeah, the wind turbines and the whales, because they put out ridiculous frequencies at absurd levels, and those frequencies actually travel very, very well underwater. Hundreds of miles they can go. And you want to know, what is the difference between one whale washing up every now and again, every few years, and a bunch of whales all washing up in the same season? Yeah, could it be wind turbines? Could it be that? Sounds plausible to me. These whales are being driven crazy by the low frequencies emitted by the wind turbines. Not a huge fan of wind turbines, in case you haven't figured that out. But anyway, yeah, it's clear they don't have any regard for residents nearby. So since becoming mayor, the mayor of North Tonawanda, Austin Tylick, he's focused on trying to work with DigiHost, or would that be DigiPower X, to try to reduce noise and pollution in the city and region. The mayor continues to see and hear the problems that continue with the factory and its impact on residents. Our residents honestly deserve peace and quiet in their own homes. We have put in the time, the effort, and resources to get to this point, and I will continue to push until this problem is resolved once and for all. Now, it's been 3 years that people have been dealing with this, and as far as I can gather, no appreciable change has actually taken place. The mayor of North Tonawanda says our residents, well, I already said that, deserve peace and quiet in their own home. The mayor acknowledges there have to be some changes to the city's noise ordinance, notably trying to find more restrictions or create more restrictions to the penal law that's more than 30 years old. Now, the penal law is a New York State thing. Municipal ordinances would be something else, correct? Do we have any attorneys out there who want to back me up on that? We're talking here about a municipal ordinance, are we not? Not the penal law of New York State. Currently, the penalties really just don't compare to the dollar. It's been decades since it's been updated. So when you look at something like a house party, it tends to shut down. They could pay for a $100 fine. But when you look at a major industry, $100 is nothing to them. That's one of the big pieces we're looking at, something that compounds day to day and builds and builds, something that is a little more hard for someone to bear, that they take it more seriously. So they're working on a new noise ordinance in North Tonawanda to deal with this DigiPower X situation. And if you live in the neighborhood and this has been affecting your quality of life, man, I got to ask you, you want to put us in the picture? Do you want to tell us how bad it is? 70 decibels, I'm told, I saw for myself on TV. 70 decibels, roughly the sound of a vacuum cleaner. Of course, a vacuum cleaner can sound different when you're operating it, when you're in front of it, or when you're in the bedroom trying to sleep and the vacuum is being used in the living room. Vacuums do have a different sound, interesting acoustics to vacuum cleaners, and a lot of it is contingent upon the acoustics of your home. My house, it's really weird. Sound goes into a vacuum. It truly goes, it's really kind of freaky, totally freaky. It's weird. All right, let me give you the phone number to call. 803-0930, 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And are you happy with what the officials in North Tonawanda have been doing to try to resolve this for you? Because nobody wants to live in a situation. I mean, what does that do to your resale? But you don't even want to live there. But then how do you sell your house with this stuff going on without taking a real bath? I'm kind of curious about that. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. So those of you in North Tonawanda in the DigiPower X, formerly DigiHost curse zone, feel free to chime in. I'm doing this for you. Just for you. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. When I did the Attica topics, people were calling in right, left, and center to talk about the smell and the particulate matter. Yeah. All right, so the situation in North Tonawanda around the DigiPower X plant, which has been going on now for 3 years, going back to the time it was called DigiHost, continues. And people are really upset with their quality of life going down the tubes because of the constant noise emanating from this place. And basically, I would like people in the area, especially people a mile away. I mean, what is it like a mile away from this place late at night? Of course, I think you tend to notice noise late at night more than you do during the day because of all the traffic and all the background noise of life in general. Night times tend to be a lot more still, a lot more peaceful and quiet than daytimes do, which might have something to do with noise ordinances kicking in after 10, 11 o'clock at night. Just a thought, just a supposition. But how bad is it? Like, what is it like? Do you feel like a whale and you would just want to beat yourself somewhere and get away from it? 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Now, as far as the people in charge of the city are concerned,
And again, this is from Brayton's piece at WBEN.com, the Odyssey website. The police chief of North Tonawanda, wow, he's getting a lot of play today on the show. Keith Glass, he said that during a 2.5-week period of noise readings in the neighborhoods surrounding the Bitcoin factory, DigiPower X, is in violation of the city's noise ordinance every single night. The chief of the NT police says, I specifically looked at the sound after 10 p.m., between 10 p.m. and 7 in the morning, and it was an easy violation every single night. I personally wrote them 4 different citations on 4 different nights. They were originally due to be served about a month ago, but because of construction, everything got pushed up. But that's what they're here today to answer to. And this would have been on Tuesday. The police chief was very careful with how he wanted to issue citations against DigiPower X in court. When I talked with our team, the city attorney, I could write them every single night. But when it goes to court, unfortunately, what I think could happen is they could look at this big stack and say, why don't we just combine everything into one? I've seen that happen with traffic tickets, things like that. I didn't want to overwhelm the court when everything just gets knocked down into one ticket. North Tonawanda resident Kevin O'Connor, he's had enough of the noise pollution in the DigiPower X factory and the community. He is hoping to see the plant at some point shut down over continued violations. And listen to this. Upstairs in my plant-facing bedroom windows, the window-penetrating noise is just terrible. You can't sleep. On my backyard deck, noise bouncing off the homes behind me is also irritating, taking away the peacefulness of my own home. Many people are scolding me, saying, I should have known that plant was there before I built there. Not so. The plant site was a Babe Ruth youth baseball facility. When I moved in there, it's a whole lot different now, I'll tell you. And that story at WBEN.com. So the DigiPower X noise continues unabated. And, you know, somebody told me, I'm not sure if this is something that is germane to the conversation, if this is something that is... how do I put this delicately? If this is something that you've heard before, if you live in that area and you don't believe it, or you'll believe it when you see it, or you'll believe it when you don't hear it more appropriately, but the people at DigiPower X, from what I hear, and I would say that I hear pretty well, they're trying to put up sound walls, and they are looking at a couple of hydro-cooled pods, which house the Bitcoin miners. I don't know how long that is going to take. Some people believe that the traffic is also getting louder, along with the trains in the area, right by the tracks there. So, have you heard that before from anybody about what DigiPower X is doing? The sound walls and hydro-cooled pods for the Bitcoin miners? 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Yeah, I got people, you know, people who know things. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after news with Tom Puckett. Welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN on a Thursday afternoon. A beautiful evening for music on Main in Williamsville. And there's always going to be the guy who, either on a motorcycle or in a cheap automobile, decides to make a lot of noise going by everybody standing outside listening to music, obviously demonstrating some kind of, complex about inadequacies in life. It's always a guy. Anyway, good to be with you. Note to self, nobody cares about DigiPower X. All right, roger that. Okay, the final part of the program here today. Oh, I told you we were going to go down a lot of avenues together, did I not? First of all, okay, I am going to be entirely self-serving. Okay, this is going to be indulgence radio, but I think other people might get something out of it too. As you know, taking a listener trip to Europe, leaving this weekend, going to be out of work for a couple of weeks, and It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be fun hanging out with the people, except Dan. It's going to be fun to hang out with people on the trip. Kidding, Dan. And Dan's a Clarence guy. They all have a sense of humor. But anyway, it's going to be fun doing that. But, you know, we're going to go into the Normandy beaches. We're going to the American Cemetery in Luxembourg. We're going to actually land in Frankfurt and then go to Luxembourg. The bus trip is shorter from Frankfurt than it is from Paris. By the way, if you ever want to do the Channel Tunnel, the Channel, London to Paris, it's 2 hours and 30 minutes at the most. That ain't bad. However, you do have to be there well before your train is scheduled to leave. It is a cluster. So when they say, like, you know, 2.5 hours before, you better get there 2.5 hours before. Otherwise, you might be S-O-L. That's a French word, I believe. But anyway, or would that be M-O-L? Not sure. So anyway, we're going to spend some time in Paris. Or do I say Paris-Stan? I'm not sure. But anyway, those of you who have recently been to Paris, I've not been there since 1993. It has been almost exactly, a long freaking time since I've been to Paris. Do you have any suggestions? My bride has never been to Europe. Okay, never been to Europe. It's shocking to think. And it's almost bad that the first time she's going is going to be France. But it could have been Germany, I'm just saying. But anyway, at least I sound like I kind of knew what I was doing over there. But in Paris, it's a different kettle of fish because I don't speak French. I can't learn French. It's a mystery language to me. French is like jazz with words, if that means anything to you. Not a big jazz fan, and I cannot understand French any more than I can understand jazz. So anyway, when I was in Paris back in... back when they were chopping off people's heads with guillotines. That's how old I... Now, back in the 1990s, when I was back in Paris, we did have a chance to see the Louvre. Now, I tried to explain to Rochelle that the Louvre is massive. It is huge. And you could literally spend months at the Louvre seeing everything there is to see at the Louvre. Because Mona Lisa is at the Louvre. Anybody else think Mona Lisa is actually a dude? Anybody? Okay. So the just a thought that I had, just saying. So anyway, went to the Louvre and literally selected the five things everybody should see at the Louvre. And that is all we did 30 plus years ago. All we did was see the top five, the Mona Lisa and the four other things, which are so important that I seem to have forgotten them. But everybody remembers the Mona Lisa, which is iconic for some reason that I quite don't understand. And I will never forget seeing Mona Lisa for the very first time. What I said was, yeah, it's a blanking painting. And by the way, it's a lot smaller than I thought it was going to be. All right, let's move on. That was my impression of Mona Lisa. Tom Bowerly, art lover. On the other hand, I think Klibben is absolutely amazing. Klibben, the Klibben cats back in the 80s. Just saying. Give me Leonardo or give me Klibben. I'm going to take Klibben for 500, Alex. So anyway, sorry. But little dated on that one. So I've also been up on the observation deck of the Eiffel Tower and in the old Notre Dame, where I had a spiritual experience in Notre Dame, or would it be a paranormal experience? A candle literally flew out from the rack in front of me. I've told you that story a million times. I've never changed it because it happened exactly how I describe it, and I have a witness to that. Thank you very much. So those of you who have been to Paris, those of you who've been to France, let's say within the last 5, 10 years, something like that, maybe you just got back from France. I don't know. What are your tips for Paris in terms of what should be seen and done in Paris? You might have found some secret gem in Paris that you believe is worth telling people about, because I'm going to have like 80 people on this trip and they're going to look to me for some kind of guidance, and I'm going to look to them and say, yeah, I don't know. You better talk to Ken from Conservative Tours. I don't know, because that's going to be my response. I would like to be able to give them something concrete. One of my words of advice for anybody coming to Paris, if it's anything like it was in 93, is watch your step on the sidewalk. Paris, France happens to be the dog excrement capital of the world. I've never seen so much dog crap as I did in Paris 30 years ago. True story. True story. The catacombs, worth a visit. The new Notre Dame. I'm not really crazy about that idea, because part of the charm of Notre Dame was going into this building that had stood for centuries and centuries and centuries and walking in the air of history. That was incredible, like going into Westminster Abbey or the Tower of London, the White Tower of the Tower of London. These ancient structures, you can almost taste, you can almost feel, you don't see them, but you can almost feel the spirits that have been there before. There's a certain energy about the place, about these places, whether it's Notre Dame or the Tower of London, whatever. So anybody have any Paris or France suggestions? And branching it out a little bit further, we're going to be going to the Omaha Beach at Normandy, the American Cemetery in Luxembourg, and we're going to see where the Battle of the Bulge took place. And I'm the one who has to explain to my bride that the Battle of the Bulge has nothing to do with my former weight. I got to explain that to her. History is not her bag, baby. Not her bag. I'm okay, though, because I enjoy teaching people new things. Hey, look, she's really good at some things. I'm really good at some other things. It works. So anyway, 803-0930 is the phone number. Any tips that you'd like to pass on to the people who are going to Paris, Luxembourg, and the Normandy beaches with us? Anybody want to offer anything that might help? Yes, this is self-indulgent radio, but I need to find out because I don't want to be the stupidest guy on the bus any more than I already am. Actually, buses, I'm going to be shifting and shuffling between two buses. Anyway, 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And from past experience, I will tell you that the view from the Eiffel Tower's observation deck is absolutely worth it. Oh, it's windy up there. Darn, it's windy. But it is really an amazing view. And you can get a tremendous insight into how easy it is for you to get lost in Paris by going to the observation tower and the deck of the Eiffel Tower, okay? I think we actually walked down from the observation deck of the Eiffel Tower. Yeah, we did walk down from the observation deck. I'm not going to be doing that this time. We might walk up, though. Yeah. So it couldn't be any worse than Neuschwanstein, but that was last trip. So anybody have any advice on what to see, what not to miss? One of the things we're considering doing is a dinner tour, which will depart from the dock right by the Eiffel Tower. And it's actually not that expensive. It's like $150 per person, but they include dinner, entertainment, and you're on a boat, which is always good. Enjoy being the man in the boat. That's always good. So we're going to do that, I think, but we just got to make sure we book it for the day. We're actually free in Paris because wouldn't it suck to book it the night we're in Luxembourg or whatever? 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. By the way, the calls. Oh, here we go. People are interested in this, you well-traveled individual. I mean, yeah, like Cassandra Joan, that would be wife number one. For those of you keeping track at home, she has done more traveling than anybody I know, including Egypt. Egypt. Unreal. Unreal. Which was interesting because when we were getting married right afterwards, I think every night she was on her pyramid. Let's get to... Hi, Sandy. You listening? All right. That's joke between good friends. Let's go to AJ in North Tonawanda on WBEN. Hello, AJ.
Hello, Tom. So you've seen the Louvre. Good luck getting in there now because they're having a real tourist problem. With these big sites that are right in the city center. What I would suggest to you is taking some of the sites that are just out of the city, like the Palace at Versailles.
Oh, yes. Thing. Been there.
There's also the Palace at Fontainebleau, which is also, you know, near Paris. And as far as the cathedral, I don't know. It's about 40 miles south of Paris is Chartres.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with that cathedral. It's one of the most famous cathedrals in France from the Middle Ages.
Yes, I've certainly heard of it. I've never really given it much thought, but I've certainly heard of it. Do you speak French?
Somewhat, yes.
Oh, the mystery language, like reading music. Well, no, because I think you've got a head up on people if you actually speak French, even a little bit of French. And I'm pretty good with languages. I can't make heads or tails out of French. I'm sorry.
Like, well, the important thing is that you don't get taken, okay? And one thing, watch out for pickpockets at these places because they certainly operate.
Well, I keep my wallet in my crotch. I'm pretty sure I'm going to know.
Oh, there you go. But I strongly suggest to see the cathedral at Chartres if you see nothing else as far as cathedrals, because the stained glass, the walls are literally stained glass. You wonder what's holding this thing up.
Oh,
it's
good
amazing.
Grief. That's really, that's actually quite interesting. I don't know if we're going to have time or the resources to get to Schott. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, because that would be one hell of a taxi ride.
Yeah, it would. But, it would be, if you went by cab, it would be pretty expensive. And as far as other things that people tend to ignore, well, your wife would probably not be interested in seeing Les Invalides, which is the big museum, like the War Museum of France.
Mm-hmm.
It has Napoleon's tomb and all things about Napoleon.
I've made it clear. I've made it clear that is one of the sites we are going to visit. I'm going to see Napoleon's tomb this time. Didn't see it last time.
Well, believe me, they even have his dog and his horse in there. All the regimental colors, everything. It's very, very impressive. As far as other things, you got to kind of go outside of the city. But, you know, I mean, if you hit some of those things alone, I mean, you've done pretty well.
You know, these are great suggestions, and I'm actually kind of happy because the stuff you mentioned, with the exception of the stuff outside of Paris, with the exception of Versailles, which I have seen, I've seen those things. And I know what she's going to be interested in. She's going to want to do the shopping thing, okay? My job in life in Paris is to keep her away from shops or to remove credit cards from her purse in her sleep.
Well, good luck, because it's very tempting to spend a lot of money in Paris. And it's easy to spend a lot of money in Paris.
Especially if you like perfume. Oh, no, because I'm allergic and she doesn't like it, so it's awesome.
Oh, okay, then you're safe on that.
Yo, absolutely. But she starts saying Vuitton and things like that, I get a little queasy. AJ, thank you so much. Good stuff there. Good stuff, man. I appreciate it.
Well, have a good, safe trip and enjoy yourself.
Well, the safety really is up to the pilot, but thank you very much. I appreciate that. 803. All right, man. Palace of Versailles is absolutely beautiful, and so much history has taken place in the Palace of Versailles. And being a guy who's interested in World War I, that's where the treaty was actually signed, which basically committed the world to World War II in about 20 years. I don't often do self-indulgent radio, but many of you listen to all those ads I did for conservative tours, and Sunday is our departure date, and it's going to be... we fly into Germany, then we head west to Luxembourg, the Normandy beaches, and eventually end up in Paris. So any suggestions on what to look out for and what to see? Pickpockets, they're a big problem in Europe, London and Paris. Oh, they've got it down to a science. And we're not going to let anybody use the video camera either. Here is Chevy Chase. Remember that scene? Here is Andre of West Seneca. Andre, you're on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Mr. Bowerly. How are you?
I'm quite well, thank you.
Okay, I was listening to the previous caller, so I'm gonna get into different places in Paris. I've been there multiple times and with my family, and we just came back. I mean, we were there a year and a half ago last time.
Oh, are you French?
And
by birth, are
I
you
don't
French?
French. I speak two other languages, but not French.
Oh, okay.
French, like for you, it's a mambo jambo. So,
yes,
me too. I speak Polish, Russian, German, a little Dutch, and English a little bit too.
Ganz gut.
Spanish, Deutsch, ja.
Yeah, nur ein kleines bisschen, yes. So anyway, what do we see? What do we do?
Okay, so I heard you recommended the other stuff, but I didn't hear anything about, for example, Champs-Élysées, Moulin Rouge, and the same area is the Montmartre, Sacré-Cœur Cathedral in Montmartre. It's
yes.
a beautiful place. You can't miss it.
Montmartre, they filmed some of Day of the Jackal there, so I think that's a must-see. You also mentioned Moulin Rouge, the Red Windmill, and I've been to the Moulin Rouge, and I thought it was very sticky and very touristy, and I think instead of doing that, we're going to do the river cruise on the Seine from the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, that's excellent, too. That's beautiful, too. Of course, we have been last time, too, in Louvre, and we did see Mona Lisa. And yes, to get to Mona Lisa took 45 minutes for us to walk maybe 90 feet from the door to the Mona Lisa picture to get pictures. That's how bad it is.
Yep.
It's a crowd. But going back to Montmartre, which is my biggest attraction for me, at least in my family, in Paris. Moulin Rouge, it's a place where all the artists painting life, and they can paint for you. They paint, some of them are very, very famous artists too, who spend a lot of time over there, and last time as well. And Cathedral, Montmartre, and Sacré-Cœur on the top of it, the white one. And then when you go down the stairs, going down to Moulin Rouge, there's that famous carousel that it's been there since 1911. It's been in the movies many times and stuff like that.
All right. Unfortunately, es tut mir leid, aber I'm sorry, but I'm out of time and I have to go. But thank you very much for calling in. And what was your native tongue?
I was born in Poland. I lived in Germany and I lived in Sweden and Netherlands.
Sehr gut, ausgezeichnet. Auf Wiedersehen. Thank you very much, Andre. Yeah, you never know what you're going to get on this show. Yeah, I did okay in Germany, not going to lie. Not perfectly. I don't speak it fluently, but give me a year and I would. Anyway, hey, thanks for the calls today. Thanks for your interest in the show, except those of you in North Tonawanda near DigiPower X. So anyway, I want to thank Tanner Saunders for magnificent work, and I want to thank Kelly Clem, the daughter of Art Wander. Art Wander, a fella with whom I worked and Tom Puckett worked and a bunch of us at the radio station worked with Art Wander, died last night at the age of 98. Wait a minute. I mean, he was a character, man. He was a great guy. A great guy with a legendary career. And if you don't know anything about Art and you want to hear the story about a real mensch, go and listen to the interview I did with Kelly Clem at WBEN.com, the Odyssey app. You can do that too. And she gives you a picture of Art Wander that you're not going to get anywhere else because we talked to his daughter and I happen to know his daughter. So it's all good in the hood. So anyway, I'm going to miss you guys as I'm gone. Some of you are coming along, which is awfully nice, except Dan, in clearance. So kidding. Thank you so much for everything. And what is this, a death speech here? It's a funeral oration? Anyway, thanks to Tanner Saunders again. Stay tuned. Tom Puckett coming up next with Buffalo's Evening News on News Radio 930 WBEN. Parting is such sweet sorrow.